Tonight I come to you not to make you feel good where you are. Tonight I come to you not to tell you things that are going to make you laugh, are going to make you happy. But tonight I come to you to tell you the truth, that you may be holy as God is holy, and that you may live lives to the fullness in the concept, in the victory that God asked His people to live. I would like to look at a verse just real briefly, and I feel pressed in my spirit to pray again. I just feel led to again pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, what does it say? Shall humble themselves. They're going to pray. They're going to seek God's face. And they're going to turn from their wicked ways. We are going to hear from heaven. And God is going to be glorified. And the name of Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up. And others will see Him. Brothers and sisters, I believe tonight that in Western culture, we have gotten to a point of an apostate state in our form of evangelism. And we have come to the point where we have readily come to people and say, are you born again? And if they say no, would you love to be born again? And they may say yes. And you say, repeat these words after me. And then we pat them on the back and we say, you are gloriously saved and bound for heaven. Trotman wrote a pamphlet. And in this, he found an observation, and that was this. He was driving along a highway and he picked a young man up, and the young man got into his vehicle and he was profoundly cursing and swearing and condemning God. Trotman said, you need to be born again. And so as he hauled him down the road a ways, he led him to Christ. A year later, he came to that very same point in the road. He picked up the very same young man, and the young man climbed into the car in the very same condition as he did the first time. Trotman said, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Brothers and sisters, why do you think we have come to a point in our culture whereby we seem to see a weak gospel? A gospel that is diluted. A gospel that is defied by man. And we preach that as the authority of God and His Word. And I say this tonight. If we're ever going to see revival, and we're going to see the reality of revival, and we're going to see the evidence of revival tonight, it's going to have to be on the authority of God's Word, and that alone. And tonight I stand in a place that causes me to tremble, because I've got to get it right, what God is telling me here tonight. I can't come here to perform, but I come here to bear my heart of what I believe God has told me for weeks before I ever came here. And it may not be what you want to hear, but it's the Word of God and the truth of that. I want to give you an account. Happened in my own life of a man that I met. His name was Ken. He was an alcoholic. Lived in the local town where we were living. Got to be friends with Ken. We shared Christ. Shared with him the need for salvation. Ken come to the point where he gloriously accepted Jesus Christ. And I want you to ponder this story, and then we want to pray. But he gloriously accepted Jesus Christ. God began to show the evidence of in his life that God was empowering him. He worked at a factory, and they made him lead man of the factory. Then they began to fly him all over the country, and he was prospering in that area. He prospered in his spiritual life to the point where in the presence of that whole corporation, he denounced the very acts of Halloween. Halloween, mind you. And he rose to opposition in that, but he stood. One day the message came, the phone rang, and they said, Brother Danny, there's something wrong with Ken. I said, what is it? He said, it doesn't look well. I picked up the phone and I said, Ken, where are you? What's happening? He said, God didn't do anything for me. I said, Ken, what are you saying? I plead with you to consider the things of the Lord. He said, God never done anything with you. And I pled with him over the phone for quite some time. At the end of the conversation, he said, I'm ready to die. Come what may, I'm ready to die, he said. A few days later, the word came. He went back to the last woman that he lived with. He gave her one lonely rose. He went to the bathroom in a drunken stupor, hung his head over the rim, and he died in his own vomit. And that's the way Ken passed from life to eternity. Brothers and sisters, I ask you tonight, if there's something here holding you from the fullness of the presence and relationship with Jesus Christ, what is it? And if you can identify it and you know what it is, then surrender it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and come clean. Is there anything on the face of the earth that would keep you and I from eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ? Is there anything? And tonight I want us all to evaluate our life for a few moments before we go on with this message. Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you in your very presence. Oh God, we have sinned. We have sinned in this land of America. Father, we have corrupted your gospel. We have profaned your name. We have not glorified your name as you've called us to do. But God, we've walked after our own lusts, our own desires, our own flesh. Father, we repent tonight. Oh God, I pray, empower us with your Spirit. Speak to our hearts tonight that we may know you and truly know you. Father, I pray, let your Spirit rule and reign in this place tonight, that your name would be glorified. In Christ's precious name, I pray. Amen. Question tonight at hand, who shall be saved? Who shall be saved? I'd like to look at some scriptures tonight that lead us to that point of salvation, beginning in the book of Matthew chapter 7. And I must move right along, or sometimes time goes long. In the beginning of that chapter, he says, judge not that ye be not judged, for whatever judge you cast upon another, it's going to return to you again. Now tonight, God did not call us to be judges, but God called us to be truth bearers, did he not? And to share the truth, and the Bible says if we know the truth is going to set us free. The question is, who is going to be saved? We break in there about, verse 13, I believe it is. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Yeah, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Notice these next profound verses that Christ is teaching. Brothers and sisters, we've got to understand what it means to be born again. We've got to understand what it means to be born again. Being born again is not a lip service. And I believe tonight that many people are going to go to hell because they missed salvation by about 16 inches. They have an acknowledgement. They have the knowledge. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You see? They have that form. They know how to talk. They know how to act. They know just what to do. They know how to act at the right time in the right place. And so they impress people. And you know what we've bought into? We bought into a secular concept of comparing ourselves very foolishly among ourselves. And we say, well, he says he's a Christian. So he's actually defying and being disobedient to the word of God. But because he says he's a Christian, I do as he does, see? Who told you that everybody that names the name of Christ is going to heaven? Who told you that everybody that names the name of Christ is born again? Listen, I want to show you something here tonight. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Tonight I want to ask you a question. If you are sitting in a court tonight, and they are going to build a case against you as a born-again, sanctified, justified believer in Jesus Christ, will they find the evidence? Will they find the evidence? That evidence is manifested in the secular world. It's manifested in your home. It's manifested in your personal life. It's manifested in the church. It's manifested wherever you go. I ask you tonight, will they convict you? Will they convict you of the evidence? And even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, here is where we come to a point of division in the road when it comes to those that name the name of Christ, but the evidence is lacked. Notice some of these verses. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. I am working with a couple right now. That man declares to be gloriously saved. He has been under the authority of pornography for the last 25 years. Brothers, I ask you, how is that possible according to the authority of God's Word? How is that possible? It says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And it also says, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now I want to look at a group of people. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I've often pondered that verse, and I finally fell before the Lord, and I said, God, expose to me what you're really saying. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice what's going to happen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not, what, cast out devils? Oh, we've cast out devils in his name. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something here tonight. The Bible says that we need to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. You and I are exposed to something in this culture like never before in the history of time. The modern technology has the ability to penetrate our hearts at a level like never before. And it's bombarding us from every angle. But listen, brothers, and I call you to authority, to accountability. Listen, brothers, we are accountable to God for the evidence of in our life. They're telling me that a lot of these ministers, these pastors of these churches, with these computers which they secretly use, and when they take them in to have those processed and worked on, the stuff that they're finding is, it is awful. Yet these men are standing before people and they are attempting to expose the Word of God in its truth and entirety. God help us. How can this be? This is what God is talking about here. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, I want to move over to another scripture in relationship to all this. And I want to show you the power and the authority of Jesus Christ's blood. Tonight, if you are feeling defeat, tonight, if you are continuing to struggle and to struggle and to struggle, I say this. Check your relationship and where you stand with Jesus Christ. If there's anything ever going to change in this whole matter of our Western culture, it must begin there. You know what happens? Individual lives don't know what it means to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They don't know what it means to live sacrificial living. They don't know what it means to repent. And so they move from their own personal lives and they take a young sister by their side and they call it building a home. And they have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're about to attempt. And so as a result, a product, they have children. And they bring this into the church. And then they say, yes, yes, I demand my rights. I demand this. I demand this. They have never understood sacrificial living. And brothers, listen, I want to tell you something tonight. We are raising our children to be happy and not to be holy. There's a big difference between happiness and holiness. Happiness needs a fix every so often, does it not? You buy a child a new bicycle, and you watch what happens. They'll use that bicycle for a short time, and all at once, they want something else because they're no longer happy with what they had. Now, I'm going to ask you some real pointed questions as I go along this weekend, because I believe God has spoken them into my heart. When is the last time that you have taken your child and you said, son or daughter, I want you to labor this week intently for a wage that you are going to receive at the end of the week, and then I want you to take that and give it to dear old brother so-and-so because they're struggling financially. I want you to sacrifice that. And as a result, you see what's happening? We have children today that are out of control. They're just out of control. And so we're grasping and we're groping and we're beating the air in an attempt to find answers when, brothers and sisters, they're right here. Let's just look at these answers and let's surrender to the authority of those answers this weekend if the need be. And I believe God has been speaking. You know, I have a place out back on the farm where I go and God's power overshadows that. It gets extremely quiet, and God meets me there. God's been telling me something. I don't know where this application applies, but God has been saying something powerful is about to happen. Something powerful is about to happen. And I'm saying, God, what is that? What is that? I long for the day when Jesus Christ is going to come and is going to come forth in the glory and the praise of His holy name, and I can be delivered from this present tribulation and I can be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Chapter 6 of verse Romans. Brothers and sisters, if we're ever going to see Jesus Christ in the fullness that He is asking us to, we must understand this scripture. It says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, we can quickly brush over that and we can say, okay, don't sin because we need grace. All right, final, let's move on. Wait a minute. It's far deeper than that. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm going to ask you a pointed question tonight. Are you dead to sin? Are you dead to sin? Is sin reigning and does sin hold an authority of bondage in your life? Are you dead to sin? Now notice what this scripture says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Are you dead tonight? Are you dying tonight? Do you know what it means to have the flesh crucified? Do you know what it means tonight to be set free? Do you know what it means tonight to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit? Do we know what that means tonight? It says, therefore, as we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I want to tell you something here tonight. Pornography, lust, hatred, anger, bitterness, all these things are not newness of life. They're the old man, and they need to be crucified, that you and I can be set free and experience the power of powerful living. And we are bound, we are still bound, because we are preaching a deluded gospel of Jesus Christ that says, yeah, you can live in your sin as long as you talk about the Lord, you are gloriously saved. That is contrary to the will of God's teaching and His Word. It says this, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." I ask you a question tonight. Did Christ come forth in newness of life, or did He come forth in the oldness of life? The newness of life. Then why do we find ourselves under the authority and the bondage of sin? Let me ask you something tonight. Scripture teaches us that a test of our love is how we love the brethren. Who? The church is the place of the battleground, isn't it? Well, you said what I didn't like, Brother Wesley, so you know what? I'm not going to greet you with a holy kiss. I'm not going to shake your hand, but I'll tolerate your presence, and we're still brothers, okay? How does that one sound? We see the evidence of that all the time, do we not? Do we not? And it seems to me anymore as I travel this country over sharing in churches that the church is a place of the battleground. Listen, I seen a man, a giant of a man buried before my very eyes in a cardboard box. That man was bitter from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. And that man could exhibit that bitterness like never before. Why do you think our counseling units are overflowing and there is now a waiting period of up to a year or two to get in? Brothers and sisters, it's not in the world. It's in the church. And why is it there? All because we have violated some teachings in this very chapter. If we are buried in the baptism of Jesus Christ, as Christ laid in the tomb and came forth in the newness of life, so we also should live in newness of life. And the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ can resurrect you and I to newness of life. That's where we are with this whole thing. The matter of the fact is, will we humble ourselves as God has pled for us in 2 Chronicles 7:14? Will we humble ourselves and will we repent? We are preaching a gospel today that is a gospel of salvation without repentance. And we will always be here if we do not change the authority of that message. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, quite frequently I hear this. I'm not a servant to sin. It's just a weakness I have. I'm not a servant to sin. It's just a bad habit I have. Brothers and sisters, there is no gray road in this matter. It's a matter of life or it's a matter of death. Tonight, by the decisions that you and I are going to make, where will we be a million years from now? Will we be happy? Will we be singing as glad ages roll? Or will we experience hell? Brothers and sisters, tonight I tell you, hell was never created for man, but it was created for the devil and his angels. But you know the problem with all that? Because of pride, a lack of a willingness to surrender, many are going to go to hell. And it grieves my heart tonight. I beg of you, if you hear the voice of Jesus Christ tonight, if there's any sin that is ruling and reigning in your heart, surrender it and give it to the Lord. We have no promise of the next step. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. What a glorious picture! As Christ came forth in newness of life, old things were passed away. The cross was behind Him, and the fullness of fellowship with the Father to sit at the right hand of the Father and to intercede for you and I. Oh, my friend, tonight, if you have not tasted the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance and know what it means to be free, then tonight is the night. Tonight is the night, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. In that He liveth unto God. Tonight is your life consecrated and given to the authority of God. Are you sanctified? Are you justified through the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Are you there? Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something here tonight. I'm not a judge. But this scripture teaches me that if I am continued to be under the bondage of sin, there is something drastically wrong in my life. There is something wrong, brothers and sisters. Because this scripture teaches us, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, I would tell you the untruth tonight if I am not tempted. I am tempted as any man. And where the blood runs red through the veins, temptation shall be. Because the adversary, Satan, the father of all lies, the great deceivers, continues to tempt us. You see, the temptation is not the sin, but the yielding. And so we must come to that point where we understand what it means to be born again. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "Oh, that I might know Him, how? In the power of His resurrection." And here's the part we don't want to have part of: the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto death. Listen. Listen tonight, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, if you are born again, if you are empowered by the Spirit of God, you will experience suffering. You will experience suffering. You will experience rejection. There's a number of places that I went already. Not too long ago, there were two women behind a counter in a convenience store, and we got to talking about divorce and remarriage, and they got to telling me how right this is, and I got to bringing them back to the Word of God, and they started to rise, and one was ready to throw me out. And I said, "Listen, I'm coming back to the authority of God's Word. Here's what God's Word says. It's sin. It's sin. It's sin. It's sin." You see? The other one said, "Well, I was a Baptist and he was a Lutheran, and that just doesn't mix. So we divorced and I married another man." She said, "God is so loving that He's even going to save me in my sin." I said, "That's contrary to the will and authority of Scripture. There's no sin going to enter there. There's not going to be any sin in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." Tonight, where are we with sin? Tonight, are we clean? Tonight, are we living in the power and the authority of the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives? Are we empowered with that Spirit? "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." Are you alive tonight from death? Are you alive tonight from death? Or are you bound by the bondage of sin? "And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Verse 16 and 17 say this profoundly: "Know you not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey." Tonight, if you are obeying the authority of sin in your life, you are a servant to sin. You are a servant to sin. And if you are living in the bondage, and let's take an example of pornography, you are the servant to porn. You are that servant. You see, we don't like to think of that. But if we name it as Scripture calls it, sin has that sting of separation from the presence of God. In my life, that has, see, and sometimes I say, "Well, this is a bad habit I have. Oh, this is a bad habit." No! Brother Denny, it's sin. It's wrong. It's wrong, see? Then it says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you." Tonight, brothers and sisters, I would love to believe that everybody in our presence is truly born again. Is truly born again. I would love to believe that. But you know, as I travel America over, I am troubled in spirit. Because not everybody is born again. Not everybody is born again. They tell me today that the divorce rate is greater in the church than outside of the church. Friends, why do you think that is? We are to have the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are lost. What's happening, my friend, here tonight? We are preaching a gospel that is polluted. We are preaching a gospel that is weak. We are preaching a gospel that is defiled by the doings of man. I never in my life dreamt I would see homosexuality sanctioned in the denominations across America. Why, nature will tell you that's not right, let alone the authority of God's Word. And I get into some real headbangers with people on this. They say God created them that way. God did not create them that way. I had a man come to the church not too long ago, and he said, I'm here to bring down denominational walls. I said, hallelujah, great idea. Where are we going to start? I said, what about homosexuality? What about divorce and remarriage? What about women pastors and that kind of leadership? And I went down the line. He said, we got to talk. I said, yeah, I think we do. And so he set up a meeting. He came to the church, began to try to convince me. And finally, my wife left to go do something. And he got silent. And he said, I got to tell you, I married a divorced woman. I said, well, what do you think about that? How do you feel about that? What do you think the Scripture teaches? What is your pastor saying? I just bombarded him with a whole bunch of questions because I wanted to know. And finally he said, she was brought to me in the Spirit. I said, wait a minute. Which Spirit? God's Spirit and His Word will not lie. Remember that. God's Word and His Spirit will not be divided. And we're all caught up in this thing of emotions today, and we're emotional. Oh, it came to me in the Spirit, and we are violating every principle of God's Word. And we're calling it in the Spirit. Tonight, brothers and sisters, until we come to the realization, if I can say it, of the truth of God's gospel, we will never see the power and authority of God's people. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, see? And if there's repentance, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. Tonight I would like for us to simply ponder before the Lord. Simply allow God to speak into our hearts. You know, where are we? Really, where are we? Like I say, I would love to believe that everybody here tonight truly is born again. I would love to believe that everybody here truly tonight is empowered with the authority of God's Spirit in their life. I am not that judge. And I praise God tonight. I don't have to worry about judging anybody. But I must get it right when God gives me a message to share, and I must share it by the power and authority of God's Word. It's God's intent. Tonight, I simply want to take a moment. Silently come before the Lord, allow God to speak into your heart. Then I want to give us an opportunity to respond. Remember, I'm not here to scare you with anything. I'm not here to shock you with nothing. I'm here to give you the truth. As a friend, I will always tell you the truth. I won't tell you the untruth. As a friend, I won't make you laugh about your lost condition. As a friend, I won't make you feel good about where you are if you're lost. But I'll tell you the truth and let God's Word decide in your heart where you really are. Let's pray. Father, silently tonight, in the stillness of this time, we ponder our condition. Father, tonight I pray, first of all, to myself. Where really is Brother Denny? Where do I stand? God, do I stand among them few? that I'll hear those words, "Come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom." Or, "Father, because I regard iniquity in my heart," that's sin, "because I regard sin in my heart, fail, refuse to respond to the truth of the gospel, do I choose to be lost?" Oh, tonight, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would hold back the forces of evil, that You would hold back the forces that seek to destroy what You desire to build. Father, I pray, let Your Spirit speak profoundly into each heart and life, mine first, and let Your name be glorified. In Christ's precious name, amen. Where are we tonight? Let's simply be real. Let's simply be real. If Jesus Christ were to come tonight, would I go with Him? Would I go with Him? Or would I not? And if you decide tonight that you wouldn't, let's figure out why so you can. Let's figure out why so we can. Tonight I'm going to give you a simple invitation. I'm going to give you an opportunity. And whatever you feel led to do, if God is speaking to your heart in relationships to the Scriptures that we have read tonight, I'm going to ask you to respond to the Lord. Is there anyone like that here tonight that knows there's sin in your life? You know that if Christ came tonight, you wouldn't go along. You wouldn't go along. The opportunity is yours. Is there anyone? If there is no one, can we all stand and clearly sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Someone lead us.
But holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
God bless you. Thank you for being attentive. And as God leads, God is speaking profoundly into some areas of life that I believe we must examine. I trust that you'll have a good night. Seek the Lord, be empowered by His Spirit. God bless you.